Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Clint Sterner, run the show, Hughley. Bridget producing this bad boy. We thank you for joining us today on a beautiful, I mean 87 out there today in Houston, a beautiful, beautiful day, a beautiful Tuesday. We thank you so much for joining us, and we hope we are giving you some sense of entertainment. And Clint, I have been thinking about this baseball conversation we've had, Tony Gwynn Jr., who we had on, and man, I'm trying to figure, like, my first mindset is not to trust it and to think this can't work. Like Tony said, May feels a little quick. I think it comes down to this, and I think I figured it out. I just don't think baseball can be the first sport to return. I view, and I think the public views baseball as the sport that doesn't, when I put it up against the NFL and NBA, it feels like the sport that routinely doesn't know what it's doing. Like, it feels like the sport that I don't, like, when I think, all right, they're going to come out, they are the ones who are going to step out, they're going to start up before the NBA does. I'm skeptical just because it's baseball. I don't know how many people feel that way. I don't know, but just us having this conversation, it hit me. I think that's where I come from. I'm skeptical of baseball being the first sport to start back because I just don't trust, just historically, at least like the last decade, I just don't trust that they know exactly what they're doing.
I got to give you a little pushback on that. I don't think anybody knows what the hell they're doing right now. I mean, I don't True. Think anybody knows what they're up against at this moment. I don't think anybody knew how serious this thing was when it initially hit. Look, it took the NBA literally had somebody test positive before they pulled teams off the court. So, I mean, they were the first ones, and they acted swiftly, but ultimately it had to hit them dead in the damn face for them to act that way. I just don't think that anybody knew what was going on then. I don't think anybody knows what's going on now. I just think that Major League Baseball being in a position to where they haven't even taken the field in 2020, and the only option cannot be to cancel the entire season. I think they're just a little bit more, from a timing standpoint, baseball's a little bit more in the spotlight from a sense of, you got to get something started sooner rather than later. You can't go the entire year of 2020 with no baseball being on TV.
No, I hear you, and I'm not even saying that I'm right, Clint. I think it is my perception, and I wonder how many people share that. Like when you talked about with nobody knows, I think that is the right answer, but. Like, if I looked at it and we said, okay, baseball's going to start this thing up in May, not to mention they have, you know, so many more people that they have to make sure are safe than basketball does. And historically, we look at the NBA and the NFL, and they have generally made decisions where people around the country think they know what they're doing. Like, if we look at this situation, the NBA pulled their guys, and they ended it first, right? And you said it had to hit them dead in the face. Well, it hit the NBA in the face. And Major League Baseball still is playing spring training games that don't matter. They were still playing games that don't matter, even after all of the college basketball conferences canceled their tournaments. Like, it, games that don't matter, the MLB was still running players out. Like, if they, in my mind, I can't get the wrap around that if Major League Baseball started playing before the NBA does, I would side to think I trust the NBA knows what they're doing more than I think Major League Baseball knows what they're doing. And I think it would, I would look at it as like, something's up with this. I don't feel comfortable with this. I don't think, and I think it could be a potential negative thing from people. I would let the NBA go first if I was Major League Baseball. I would let the NBA go first before I would start.
There ain't no way Major League Baseball is looking at it in any.
Oh, I know they're
term.
Not. You're right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they don't give a damn what the NBA does. And so it's just one of those where, you know, I don't know, man. When I look at this deal, I think baseball has more to lose if they don't start sooner rather than later. Baseball has an entire season to lose, where I think football at some point in time is going to be on the field. Basketball got the majority of their season in, got their All-Star weekend in. Obviously the most important part hasn't taken place yet, but when it's all said and done, they had some revenue this year. They did some business this year.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball, it has yet to don the diamond outside of spring training. And so I just think that they're hungrier, to get on the field show. And for me, it seems like, based off of the ESPN article that I read, it seems like, to me, this is what Major League Baseball has presented is the most complete plan that I've seen put out there.
Best possible. As you said, they have, high-ranking federal public health officials that are potentially behind it. That changes it. It makes it more believable.
And when you look at it, the MLB and MLB Players Association, the leadership, they've embraced this plan. Look, I understand that there's no way, there's no doubt about it, that Major League Baseball is this is in the infant stages of the plan and executing the plan and all that. So there's still a lot of hurdles out there for Major League Baseball to get through and get over, but when it's all said and done, when you've got those high-ranking federal public health officials on board, when you've got Major League Baseball and Major League Baseball Players Association, their leadership, when you got them on board, when you've got a facility in Arizona that can handle, you know, all of the teams being in one location and what I think what they're calling, referring to as a bubble city, I just think that this thing, for the first time, show we can look at one of the major sports leagues, professional sports leagues, and go, okay, it's not just a statement of somebody in a press conference. Like, there's been some legitimate background due diligence done here, and it appears that some things may be coming together. I just think as we sit here in neutral in this COVID-19 pandemic and just yearning for sports, I think this is the first thing that I've seen to where I go, man, they're out there flipping stones and doing work to legitimately make this happen. They're not just shooting blanks and hoping that we hear the gun go off.
No, and this is I totally agree with you that this is the best the best case we've seen presented. Even more than what Dana White is doing. Dana White just talked about he just rented an island to compete at. But this is the best thing to have those public health officials behind it. I've never wished we could have the text line right now, because I would love to present the question of if the NFL, NBA came out and said, we're going to start the league this date, would you feel more comfortable than you do hearing it from Major League Baseball? Would you feel more comfortable in thinking that they've got a real handle on it? I would love to hear the responses to that. And maybe I'm alone. Maybe I'm the one that's overthinking it. But that was like, I would just sit there in our conversation talking, just wondering why am I so skeptical of this? And I think it's because it's baseball leading it off. And I've never wished.
Well, look, there ain't no doubt baseball's a hairy topic now. I mean, it's one of them deals where they've been known to push some envelopes in that game now and have forever. So, I cut corners. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if baseball didn't cut corners. It wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they're a league that tends to allow a lot more shady business than the other leagues.
No, I totally agree. Because in my mind, I would think, Clint,
we need to make way for the NBA to lead us back in, you know, into the sports being on TV again. You know, especially again after the fact that it took a player testing positive, then multiple players testing positive, especially after we watched what they went through, to think that we should clear the way and allow them to set the standard of how leagues get cranked back up. I don't know. To me, that's a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I just think if those three sports leagues, if they started back playing first, and then they had a couple of players or people within the leagues test positive of it, I think Major League Baseball would get crushed in a way that the other two sports wouldn't. I think people would just, they're stupid baseball. I believe that. Real quick, man, I just wanted to share this with you, man. I heard you last segment. We were talking about your lady went off on you while y'all was working out. My wife, she's ticked me off too.
What happened? What happened? Come on now.
Man, so, you know, man, we going through this, you know, this quarantine, right, man? And my in-laws, our parents, great people, love my in-laws. They sent us a nice little box of goodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
She opened it up. She beat me to it. She opened it up, and I got to see everything in it, man. It had some nice pears, had some nice caramel popcorn with nuts in it, had a nice bag of nuts and some crackers. She said it had some summer sausage and cheese, but I hid it from you because I don't want you to eat it all.
She knows you like the back of your hand. She knows you went in after that summer sausage and cheese and went to work.
Listen, you can't. No. They sent that to us. You can't take out the top item and keep it for yourself and not allow me to get a piece of it.
In her defense, she didn't say she kept it for herself. She just knew that if you got to it first, you were going to eat every bit of it.
No,
is that
no.
Here's the question: Is that an accurate thought? Is that an accurate point?
Would
you have knocked back every bit of the summer sausage and the cheese?
That's beside the point, Clint.
No, I mean that's a legitimate question.
Maybe, but that is beside
okay.
the point. That's
I'd have hit it on you too.
She told me I'm not getting any of it. She's high. She said you can have everything else in the box. No, I just want some summer sausage and cheese.
Look here. Hey, she got you right there. You try to trade me some summer sausage and cheese for a pear? Get the hell out of here.
Hey, you know
crazy
what I'm saying? You're going to leave. She's going to say, and she tried to make it sound great. Oh, you can have the rest of the box. These beautiful pears.
Pears and caramel candy.
And this looked like, and I'm going to lie, the pears and everything in it looks top of the line. It just made me think, well, this summer sausage and cheese combination must be really nice.
Guarantee it's money. Oh.
You know what I'm doing? I'm in here. I'm searching all through the kitchen trying to find this. She didn't hit this good.
You got to figure out. You got to get a little show on you. You got to get a little show on your payroll, man. So while we're doing the show, he can be in there searching the cabinets and stuff.
Watch it. They took this summer sausage from me, man.
I'm a summer sausage and cheese guy too now.
Nah, I'm telling you, man. Because like, she does know me. In her defense, that is one of those combinations, Clint, where I can sit down and I don't even know that I have gone to town as much as I have. Give me a knife and just keep cutting it. I just find myself just watching TV and I didn't cut through and say, "Whoa, damn! I didn't just ate this whole summer sausage." So in her defense, I can see that happening, but. Come on, man. You can't present it as, here, you can have everything else in the box. Look at these pears. And pears weren't even cold.
I don't know, Chief. I don't know, Chief. You done admitted that you'd have knocked every bit of that cheese. Look here. If I'd have walked in and me, if somebody sends O'Stern and Show a care package and I walk in and you done knocked back all the summer sausage and cheese, me and your ass is going to wrestle in the hallway for sure. For 100% sure.
Yeah, you could have the crackers, man. Let me just help with that cheese. She left the crackers. She knows I ain't going to touch the crackers. All right, before we head to break, make sure, man, I know many of you are at home staying safe, and we hope that you really are, and not traveling your car as much. Since you're not traveling your car as much, if you're working from home and you need to listen and you need your sports fix, then why not listen to Houston Sports Radio Leader? And that is by downloading the radio.com app. Just download it to your phone. Then in the search bar, press, put in Sports Radio 610, and you'll be able to listen to us all day long. Hey, and if you got Alexa, just give her a shout and tell her to play Sports Radio 610. I think this is really important that we continue to have this conversation. And there is some audio that puts forth even more of why Dusty Baker is the absolute perfect choice for the Houston Astros. We'll get into that next. Clint Sterner run the show, Hugh Lee, filling in this week. Clint, I ain't going to lie to you, man. I'm thinking about taking this up a notch and just texting her mother and just snitching. I'm thinking about texting her mother and just saying she's hit the sausage and cheese from me. And I'm not happy about it. You need to make her tell me where it is.
Now that would be a nice little punch in the back. You know what I mean? That'd be a nice little. That'd be nice. That'd be really nice. Get her folks in on the deal and get her folks to rat her out and get her folks to get.
That probably wouldn't help my cause.
Yeah, it probably ain't gonna help you at home, but it'll make for a great story later in the week on the radio. So that'd be great.
Dusty Baker, the manager of the Houston Astros, dude, man, he is. I just don't know if there was another person out there that could have been any more perfect fit for the situation and everything that is happening with the Astros. Hell, before COVID-19 and after, I can't get over how big of a home run he is and the best thing that the Astros have done in this entire cheating scandal is hiring Dusty Baker.
Well, I don't think they could have hit the nail on the head any more square than they did. I mean, when you look at what Dusty Baker has the type of fit that he was out of the gate for the Astros. You're talking about a personality that's a perfect fit in terms of disarming the media, in terms of disarming a good percentage of Major League Baseball. Now, you're never going to disarm the Dodgers, or you're never going to disarm Boston or New York. Or I mean, there's certain organizations out there that just ain't, it don't matter what you do. But when you talk about disarming the national media, a lot of the GMs and coaches around the league, I think Dusty Baker was a perfect fit in terms of that. You also can double down on that with, and we've talked about this before, the experience that Dusty Baker has dealing with the adversity, dealing with just adversity in general on a big scale, which is Barry Bonds in the steroid era. You know, those are things that you've got to experience and you've got to go through. And so having dealt with that before has to lead all of us to believe that he's more prepared to deal with what the Astros are going through, you know, post cheating scandal. You got to believe that he's got a little bit more insight, a little bit more wisdom into how to deal with this. Well, I'm posted up yesterday doing a little surfing on social media, and I come across an Astros podcast. And of course, I click on that thing, and I automatically hear one more reason why Dusty Baker is a great. Now, this is a reason, show, that nobody saw coming down the pipe. Obviously, COVID-19, nobody saw coming down the pipe. But this is just one more feather in the cap of why Dusty Baker is a perfect fit for the Houston Astros in terms of dealing with a schedule being pushed back, league play being postponed. This is Dusty Baker on what he's been through as a player and a coach that has better prepared him for this moment.
All of a sudden now, you know, my background's coming into play because I was at every strike that there was. My first year in 1972, and then 76, the lockout, and then 81, which was really the real big one as far as I was concerned because of we lost 50 days.
Simple. I mean, again, you talk about the experience of dealing with the adversity with Barry Bonds and a steroid error should prep him for dealing with what the Astros are going through, you know, post-scandal. When you talk about what he's been through, whether it was a player or as a coach, in dealing with 50, 40, 30-day postponements in a season and what players and organizations should be doing during those layoffs, you got to think that Dusty Baker's experience is obviously an advantage for the Astros.
Man, yeah, I mean, like you said, man, we didn't even know this was a potential thing that you needed his expertise in, right? God, he's been around. His first year was 1972. My goodness, I guess he is 70. He has been around, and he's been around for every one of them, obviously, the strike in 94 as well. You didn't even know that was the expertise that you were going to need from him. I want to take it even a step further, Clint, to everything you talked about, how perfect he is. That, dude, he is J-Lo, Clint. He is Jennifer Lopez.
Damn, dude, I can't wait for this one.
Do you
like
remember? You remember how much we hated, people hated it, Alex Rodriguez? I think people are willing to give Alex a little bit. He's corny, but I think the people are more willing to give Alex a chance now. Now that he is somehow, well, hell, if J-Lo wants to be with him, I think people like Alex Rodriguez, I think that has been the biggest thing to rehabilitate his reputation is him dating the lovely, the beautiful Jennifer Lopez, old Jenny from the block. And not the Jenny that dated, you know, that dated P. Diddy, but this new Jenny, I think it's been one of the top. That's what Dusty Baker is. Jennifer Lopez is just somebody people like, right? People just, it's hard to hate Jennifer Lopez. Every piece of thing about her. She's a good person. She's nice and just, you know, she's got everything else. But it is hard to hate Jennifer Lopez. It is hard, no matter what you're dealing with. If you're dealing with the biggest scandal or the biggest Yahoo, like Alex Rodriguez is, the biggest scandal potentially in a while with the Astros, you just put J-Lo, or in this case, Dusty Baker, a person that everybody likes, everybody in baseball roots for Dusty Baker. Like, it's going to lessen the blow. And for that reason alone, it was the perfect thing. It was somebody to just, damn it, I hate the Astros, but God, they got Dusty. Dusty might be my favorite guy in baseball. How can I hate the Astros and hate Dusty the same amount of way? And
I see where you're going, big dog. I see where you're going because there is no doubt about it. When I see Alex Rodriguez walk in by himself or with his little security group, I'm like, man, get the hell out of here, man.
But when you see Jenny.
When he walks in holding J-Lo's hand, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I do. I agree. I do go, all right, man, come on in. Sit down. Let's have a drink.
Right? Right? Yeah. I mean, it's just because he's sitting next to her. Like you can like it's just like that's been the I don't know if I know Alex may have just planned it. Hell, this is what I need to do. But that was one of the things the Astros needed to do was like, all right, we're going to be hated. But who is a person like we've talked about? I think Hall of Famer John McClain has talked about it, the NFL. Right before the Super Bowl, how much everybody is rooting for Andy Reid. The league loves Andy Reid around. That is what he is. That is what, and I'm telling you, Clint, God, I can't believe I just forgot. I just thought about this. That was exactly in Kansas City what they wanted to do. If you remember what the Chiefs were coming off of right before Andy Reid took over, they were coming off of the worst thing we've ever seen in sports in terms of domestic violence, with Javon Belcher killed his girlfriend right in front of Romeo Crennel. That's why I have the utmost respect for Romeo Crennel. It happened right in his face. They were coming off of that 2-12 season, just 2-14 season, just awful. They brought in Andy Reid. It just changed the way people looked at the Chiefs, not just because of the type of coach he was, but just Andy Reid is that guy. Andy Reid is that guy who has a big heart, who brings in Vic, who does. Everyone loves Andy. And I feel like that is, I'm telling you, there are people in the league who hate the Astros but are rooting like hell if Dusty Baker could win a championship, because that's the one thing he hasn't done. That was such a smart move to bring in the most likable person in baseball.
Yeah, there is zero after that J-Lo comparison right there, and
that was
and the
good,
Andy
man.
Reid comparison.
I might retire for the day right there. That was it.
Yeah, I mean that's good. It's hard for me to debate those. I mean, I gave you multiple reasons why his personality and his background is having fought through adversity and his history in the game, fighting through lockouts, and when you throw J-Lo in the mix and you throw Andy Reid in the mix, all of a sudden you've got a pretty strong case of why Dusty Baker's a perfect fit for the Astros. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Like, obviously, I think, you know, we would all rather A.J. Hinch still be the guy and the Astros still be plugging along here without the adversity that they went through. But given that you were in that position, I just think the Dusty Baker hire just continues to look better and better since Crane made the hire.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to have drinks with A-Rod yet, like you are. I don't know if I've reached that. Now, if Jennifer was there, I'm ready to have drinks.
If he got J-Lo with him, yeah, she come on, come on in, Chief. Yeah, ain't no doubt. They come on in. Put your elbows on the table. Let's talk about it.
All right, man. I can't stop. That was my. I don't think I'm going to top that 6 minutes this week. I really don't. I'm going to fight like hell to try. I don't think I'm going to top that 6 minutes this week. But let's get in your wheelhouse, because I sent you a video last night that I think you have now completely made the change on Tua. I'm not sure. I want to hear your thoughts from when you watched that video, but I think there may be a change in how you view Tua. We'll get into that coming up next.
Get in the loop.
Timmy Jernigan in 2016 with Baltimore was the best.
Clint Sterner and Ron, the show Hughley, who has peaked about 5 minutes ago, just had the best I had. I had a J-Lo comparison to Dusty Baker that I don't know if I can do any better, Clint. That's just where I am, and we'll see. I'm going to fight like hell for you, Houston, to try, Bob.
Look, I wasn't real sure where the hell you were going with that, but I can get down with it. It's good. It was one of the movies that started a little slow, and I'm thinking, I'm not real sure that I can get down with this. I'm not real sure I can sit through this. But by about 30 minutes in, I was ready. I was locked and loaded. So, yeah, good job, man.
Yeah, I know you probably just assumed I was going nasty. But no, man, I really felt it. I really feel.
Yeah, when he started it with Alex Rodriguez, I don't want any kind of parts of nasty with that. I'm out.
Hey, I sent you this video last night of Tua, a hype video for Tua. And look, it don't take a lot for me to get hyped for Tua. I've said it. I think Tua is the number one player in this draft that I would select, because I think he is the number one person that has the biggest potential to be a franchise changer. So I'm a big one of him, but I know you got seduced for a 9-second video from him. It had a little bit more in here, a little bit more of his throws. So what'd you think about Tua? Is Tua pushing you a little bit?
Yeah, Tua, he is. He's pushing me a little bit, man. And I think Tua's easy to like. And I think, when you really watch the guy play, outside of the injuries and outside of how often can the greatness show through at the next level that we saw at the college football level? Which that's the case with any quarterback, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter who it is. That's the case with every guy in the draft, is can he do at the next level what he did at the college football level? And when you watch Tua, I just – the more I watch him, the more I watch him move, and I become less and less worried about the one particular injury that was possibly – at one point was possibly career-ending. Once I see more and I get further removed from that, and it's just the – could possibly be injury-prone versus the small sample size of Joe Burrow, when I watch Tua, man, the question is he moving up? The question is can Tua, between now and the draft, can he push Joe Burrow at all for being the number one quarterback off the board?
Well, hold on. Let's put your hog on the table, Clint. Okay. Put your hog on the table. Where are you right now? If you're sitting there and you got to pick between the two of them and taking everything into you're at Tua now over Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, if I continue to see
– Even with both their red flags,
we've talked about that. I feel like both of these guys have legitimate red flags. I think every quarterback that comes out has red flags. And I mean, we can cuss and discuss every single one of the quarterbacks, and you can find
– Every one
a
of
lot
them.
Of, yeah, I mean, every single one of them. Look at the guys now. Jordan Love didn't have a very good 2019. I think he lost – 8 starters or something off of his yep. offense from 2018 to 2019. But when you dig in, he's got a special arm. You look at Herbert, you said it earlier, you know, he's had 3 different offensive coordinators. I got a problem with his stroke. You know, there's good and bad in all these guys. And you, when you really sit down and you start evaluating them, I think the guy that I would trust the most at this point in time, now, right now, today, if I had to make a choice, I would probably feel more – and I know probably too. I'd feel more comfortable taking Burrow. Even with the small sample size, I would feel more comfortable taking Burrow.
Wow.
But if I continue to be convinced – I'm not – I'll say this. I'm not beyond
– The injuries?
I'm not beyond being convinced that this one big hip injury is not a problem at all moving forward. And if that's the case and he were to continue to prove that over the next couple of weeks, for me personally – if I was watching him on that big screen TV across the room over there and I was talking to him and he was moving around and he was doing everything I needed him to do, and the doctors were stretching him and moving him and putting him in all these different positions and the hip was good, I just can't sit here today and tell you that I would not take Tua over Burrow.
It's interesting. We look at the Tua-Burrow comparison. I'll never forget. We were on the show and we were talking about what the hell it is you look at when you're evaluating quarterback. Like, what are the 3 things you look at? And the number one thing you said to me was, I want to put them in a room. Just put them in a room, and I want to let a bunch of people in the room, and I want to see how many people go sit over there with that quarterback and how many guys just respect him as the dude and how many guys just want to be around him. I think Tua has a lot of that. I look at Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow has a cocky confidence that can rub some pros the wrong way early. I think that is a potential. It's got an Aaron Rodgers feel to me. I think that is a potential for Joe Burrow that he may rub some teammates the wrong way. And I think Tua, I think everybody just likes Tua. I think everybody just feels good about Tua, and he says all the right things, and he acts the right, and he does. I think there's a bit of cockiness from the first thing you said you evaluate with a quarterback that raised a little bit of concern with me with Burrow.
Yeah, and this is probably unfair to feel this way about a guy without having sat down with him. But I agree with you. I think you're spot on. From what we've seen, I think that Joe Burrow and his, you know, just that swag that he has, I believe in it. But all we've seen is when you're winning. When you're winning and you're playing at a high level and you're healthy and you're spinning the rock around and guys know that you give them a chance to win football games, then it's not real difficult to lead. And that's part of the small sample size that concerns me with Joe Burrow is not all about physical ability to throw the football and play the game at a high level, but the ups, the trials and tribulations of winning and losing. You know, he's going to go to an organization where they're not going to win a lot right out of the gate. And if that swagger and that leadership isn't, if it's not genuine and sincere, an NFL locker room is going to see right through it and they're not going to respond to it well. And I do agree with you that from a distance, when I listen to and I watch Burrow, I believe that Tua's genuine, sincere personality,
yes,
is it shines, and I think that he would be the one that I would pick to bring my team through some adversity. If I had to pick between those two, based off of what I know, I would pick Tua to win over the locker room, even though we were a sub 500 football team.
Because you've been in it. You've seen locker rooms, man. You can't – like, I'm trying to think, if Burrow goes to Cincinnati, the top guy in Cincinnati that I can think of, two guys are A.J. Green and Geno Atkins. You can't come in there with some type of confidence like your stuff don't stink. You got to come in there with some humbleness and not just walking in there like, hey, I got this. I am, you got to have some confidence, but you can't just come in there and have it feel like you're better or something better than what they've been, or you feel more confident than they do. There's got to be a way that you got to handle and have some humbleness, like you don't know what the hell's going on. And I sometimes think Burrow's confidence, from what we've seen at a short sample size, as you said, from a distance, I wonder he go in there if Geno Atkins or A.J. Green don't look at him like, I mean, who you think you are?
Well, look, these two cats, I mean, both of these cats will lose more football games in the pros by the mid of the first year than they lost all in college. So, I mean, when you're talking – and how do you deal with that adversity, man? I mean, a man's true character is defined through times of adversity. And the game of football is no more true than when you're in the game of football outside of the game of life and what life throws at you. The game of football will prove that right there to you real, real quick. And so, again, I think both of these guys will be fine in the league. I'm super concerned about Tua's injuries, but the more these hype videos that come out, the closer I bump him up a little bit. And then if this thing ever gets to where it's a level playing field show, I'm looking at it and I'm going, I think Tua can get me through a two, three year season that is not ideal and it's full of adversity. And we come out on the back end of this thing and this dude can be rocking and rolling. I would probably pick Tua at that point in time if I'm convinced the injury's not there. Speaking of these quarterbacks, though, Show.
Go ahead.
I looked up a while ago, and they're talking about the quarterbacks on TV and saying that four of them might go in the top 10.
There we go, because I know three of them will.
No, hell no. Herbert ain't. Can you believe this? At one point, I look up over there, and you can tell Mel Kiper, and then what's the younger white dude's name?
Todd McShay.
They're split screened on the TV over there, Chief, and Kiper says something that it obviously rubs McShay wrong. And so McShay says, Kiper, can you seriously tell me that you've had a conversation with a football team, with an NFL team this year, that they believe that if both guys were available, they would take Herbert over Tua? And he said, yep, I've had that conversation. Can you believe that? And look, McShay looked at Kiper, like he looked at the TV screen, like, get the hell out of here. You're lying through your teeth. Could you imagine a team taking Justin Herbert over Tua?
Well, hell no. And it has to be the concern of the injuries. Like, that's what it is. Like, it has to be. Like, I mean, I don't know. There's some people who want to try that. I mean, I can't see it. And Justin Herbert is growing on me, Clint.
He is. Yes, he is. Like, and I'll be honest, I think I can sell it to you that he would grow on you too. I think he's got a little bit of him, a little bit of you in him. I wouldn't draft him in the first round, at least early in the first round. Now, to win the steak dinner, I am praying like hell that he is. But I would not draft him in the first round. But when I do a little deeper look in him, Clint, and I look at some of the things that I look for as prerequisites of if I would draft a quarterback in the first round, he's had some adversity that he has still met those points. He's had three head coaches and three different offensive systems in his 3.5 years as the starter at Oregon. Listen, if ain't nobody know how hard that is, you, who's played quarterback at the highest level in the SEC in college and at the highest level in the NFL for the Dallas Cowboys, damn it, you have to know what it's like. That's why I think some of this I don't completely blame on Baker. This is Baker's, third head coach in 3 years and a second offensive system. And he still put up like 96 touchdown passes and 24 interceptions, throwing 60-plus percent completing 64% of his passes, winning over 70% of his games, going to the Rose Bowl MVP. When I watch him, I'm not impressed. My eyes are not impressed when he plays against good opponents. But that type of adversity and him still being able to be successful, it's growing on me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a reason of why he struggled, then yes. And, I had three different offensive coordinators,
right?
In four years of college.
He's you.
I had three different coordinators in 4 years with Dallas. I had two different offensive coordinators in the two different years that I flirted with Miami. I mean, there's no doubt about it that. The coaching turnover will stunt a quarterback's development. And that's why when I talk about Justin Herbert's show, it's like, he's just not a top 10 quarterback. I mean, it's like Marcus Mariota was not a top 10 quarterback. I mean, you look at these guys that physically are not they're physically not throwing the football at a level that you need to throw the football to be a locked-in starting quarterback in this league. They're just not doing it, and they've got to be developed. And the problem with Justin Herbert is you're talking about a guy that the odds are if he's a top 10 quarterback, it is highly likely that the same exact thing that happened to him in college, maybe not to the degree where there's three different head coaches and three different offensive coordinators, but the likelihood of Justin Herbert getting drafted in the top 10 and having to switch systems within the first 2 or 3 years in the NFL, it is highly likely. It's highly likely. I mean, it just is. And I don't have the draft pulled up in front of me and who might or might.
But the Chargers and Jacksonville are the two teams.
Yeah, if he gets drafted by Jacksonville, hell, the owner's already said, y'all got a short leash. Y'all got to turn this thing around.
We're gonna clean
the whole damn locker room out. I mean, so you think Justin Herbert stands a chance in Jacksonville if that's where he ends up going? So I mean, that's why I'm so hesitant, Show, when we talk about guys. Like, if you're not physically, I'm gonna tell you, Sam Darnold's got a shot, even though he's in the armpit of America, New York Jets. He's got a shot because physically. That dude is special. Like, and I don't just mean big, tall, can move around a little bit, big arm. I mean the way in which he throws the football, his action, it allows him to perform at an extremely high level. So all he's got to do is be plugged in to an offensive coordinator and some talent around him that can highlight him and put him in position to win, and he can absolutely win. These other guys like Mariota, And to me, like Herbert, they have to not only be plugged in the right spots, but they've got to develop as a passer in order to make the dig throw versus cover two, in order to make the fade throw in the end zone with a safety you know, a quarter safety coming off the hash. You can't lay it up with a bunch of air. You got to get that thing up and down. Those guys, those little specialty throws, that's the difference between winning and losing. If you don't have it when you get drafted, it is a roll of the dice whether there's a coach with that organization that can teach you.
Yeah, I just look at his history, and I think the NFL quarterback's about how you handle adversity and how you handle when things aren't going correctly as planned. And most of the time, if you have a guy who was thought of to be a top 10 pick, he hadn't run through three head coaches. And it did make me look at him a bit differently when I dove into that. But it is just, but I still, my eyes, like you're saying, I watched him, my eyes, and I'm not impressed with him throwing the ball 60 yard flat footed, because how often do you do that? But just watching him against Auburn, watching him against in their big games, I was not impressed, and I didn't say to myself, that's a guy who I want to lead my franchise. I didn't see that.
I agree with your points, and I watch him take a drop.
And that was it for you.
That was it for me. It was like this dude is way behind when it comes to the fundamentals. I mean, the grassroots fundamentals, the football 101 fundamentals, quarterback 101 fundamentals. Like if you can't drop.
How does that happen?
It's unbelievable. It's
three different head coaches. Nobody.
It's unbelievable that, I mean, it's unbelievable that guys are getting paid millions of dollars and they neglect. Like, I would be embarrassed. And it's every year, though, bro. It's not just this year. It's every year. You look at the – I don't know how many quarterbacks get invited to the combine. I have no idea. I think there was 12, I think, this year. Maybe 14. But when you look at it, you go, man, there's three or four of them that look like they've never dropped. Like, you go, how do you get to that point to where you've played that much football – and you have zero confidence in your drop? Like, you, because, and how do you play that much football, prepare for a month or 2 months for the combine, and whoever the hell you're working with hasn't, like, put the balls down. Like, throwing a football is not a problem for any of the guys that get invited to the combine, for the most part. Like, let's understand your footwork and dropping, because even if you go, well, I didn't drop in college, and the NFL is going to a lot of shotgun stuff. Okay, well, you're going to be on the biggest stage in the combine, and I need you to have a flawless five-step drop just to show me, if I'm evaluating you, if you don't care about playing the position and working the details any more than to show up at the combine with a horse crap drop, then you can't play for me. And so it's every year. There's two or three guys that will blow your mind every year, and it's watch them drop, and when it's garbage, just know that wherever they go, they need to back up for 4 years.
Yeah, to your point, even if you think, well, the league is going towards shotgun, you never know who their next coach is going to be. You never know who the next system is, and you might start with Joe Brady, but then you might have Brian Schottenheimer, and you just never know what system you're going to be in. 5 o'clock fire, Clint, coming up. We do this each and every day. The top stories in Houston. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.